And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Contraman of contramanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Mama E, of ConjureDoctor.com in Los Angeles, California, bringing us today's discussion on the magic of winter flora. Together, they will learn a lot about the subject and provide a related free spell at the end of our programming. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Contraman. Miss Cat?
Hi. Wow, what a day. It's winter here. It all of a sudden became winter.
That's for sure.
So we are here today to talk about winter flora, which is great. And I'm going to just tell you as far as what's going on around here, a big shout out to Max, who's down in the shop and doing well, lighting candles for people and making spell kits. And we have a lot of orders for spell kits at this time of year, so we're doing our best to get them all caught up. And other than that, I can't think of anything much new that's new around here. Oh, yes, there was one thing very weird. I was cleaning up some boxes in my office, and I found an incredible stash of old amulets and charms that I had purchased years and years ago. I had put them aside to put price tags on them, and apparently I put them in a box. The box was put away. They never got a SKU. They never got a price tag, and they're going to be going up soon. Just an assortment of, but now I got to explain, these are from the 1990s. These are really interesting old amulets and charms from around the world, but you may never have seen for sale at Lucky Mojo. And now they're vintage. But that's what happens when you run a shop. Things get lost. So how are you today, Conjurman?
I'm doing good. Very tired and looking forward to the winter break, desperately needed winter break. But I'm hanging in there. You know, it's sort of one, I can't believe we're already looking, you know, 2026 in the face. Where did 2025 go? But two, I'm really like, I felt like I blinked and the year went by. This was the fastest of the year. We've talked about this before, how many of the years have just flown by, but this one was by far, in my opinion, the worst. It's just like, I blinked and it was over. But also, like, it's about that time of year where I have a lot to do to wrap up before the year ends. And so I'm looking forward to the Christmas break where hopefully I stay put. I say hopefully because I always plan on not going anywhere and then there's always like a last minute trip. But I'm, fingers crossed, I'm not going anywhere. I'm just going to stay home and catch up on things that I need to finish. So everyone will me say, I will conjure men not to go on a trip during Christmas. do not brave the holiday traffic and airports. Just stay home and stay put.
Well, good for you. I'm hoping to stay home as well. I'm just enjoying my life here.
It's gotten chilly though, hasn't it, up there, right?
Oh gosh, cold as, well, they used to say it's cold as a witch's tit in hell.
Yeah, my friend from Northern California is actually coming down later today. I'm very looking forward to it. And that's literally what they said. It's like, it's too cold. I'm fleeing down south where it's still where it's still slightly warmer. And I don't have the heart to tell them that the days that they're here is actually going to be very cold. It'll be warmer later in the week, but the 2 days they're here, nope, it's cold.
Yeah, it's really bad. Well, let's say we've got our giveaways of our prizes to announce. And I was told confidentially behind the scenes that Papa Newt would be announcing the winners of the contest from last week.
That's correct, Miss Cat. And what we have first is the Hoodoo Psychics Magic Mondays contest winner, who is Melissa Bishop. So you'll be contacted to receive a free reading with your reader on Hoodoo Psychics of your choice. And then we have the Lucky Mojo Facebook Fridays winner, which is the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church book special, which consists of The Art of Hoodoo Candle Magic by Catherine Ironwood and Mikhail Strabo, An Artist Among the Spirits by Reverend Dr. John St. Germain. We also have Crystal Magic, also by the Reverend Dr. John St. Germain, Deliverance by Kai Armand, Hoodoo Bible Magic by Miss Michael and Professor Porterfield, Hoodoo Food by the Ladies Auxiliary of the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church, and also Hoodoo Shrines and Altars by Miss Phoenix LaFay, and lastly, The Secrets of the Crystal Silence League by Claude Alexander Conlin. And the winner of this wonderful package is Faywood Donna Moore. You'll be contacted directly by Messenger to get your shipping details. There's no need for purchases, and this whole package will be shipped out to you. So there what we have.
That is a huge prize. That's enormous. You know, we vary between many, many small prizes on one week and the next week a bigger prize. But this one was big, big, big. So I hope that the winner enjoys all of those great Missionary Independent Spiritual Church books. Wow. All right. Well, let's bring in our wonderful guest, Mama E. Are you there, Mama E?
I am here. Hi. Listening to you.
Great. Welcome. So welcome to the show. We've had you on many times in the past. And I am going to say, for those of you unfamiliar with Mama E, go to the Lucky Mojo YouTube playlist. We've had other shows with her, and just search for Mama E. You can go Lucky Mojo Curio Co. and Mama E, and you will find the shows that she's been on. So, right. Mama E, you brought us this time the topic of the magic of winter flora. But before we get into the topic, tell us just a little bit about what you've been doing, and then just let's jump right into the winter flora.
Well, today I'm going to light a candle for Conjureman so he won't have to travel for the holidays.
Is there got to be like a cool-off candle? Just cool off.
Yeah, right? Stay put. Stay put candle. So aside from that, I'm catching up with all my Christmas gifts and, you know, my family's gift and my friends. So I was wrapping this morning and my house looks like something exploded, but everything will be fine. Everything will fall in place, so as it usually does. Aside from that, I'm okay. I'm, you know, I'm feeling good for an old lady. I'm doing well, and continue at the business. And we're busy lighting candles for a lot of people and doing a lot of spell work. This is the time of the year where a lot of clients want spell work to start the next year in a different note, or to finish the year in a different note, because many of them are, you know, love and attraction, and I want so-and-so to come back to me. You know, they're thinking of New Year's parties. So, so here we are, you know, helping everyone with whatever they need. So, and I'm excited about this, this theme, this topic.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's yours to take it away. The one thing I'm going to say is I always introduce these a little bit. I love doing shows on herbs and herb and root magic. I love doing shows on floriography and flower magic and divination. If you all are unfamiliar with some of our past shows on the mint family, on toxic herbs, on old pharmacies and the herbs they sold, we've done a lot of shows like that, and shows on how to read flowers when they're given to you in it as a gift. So one of the things that I'm going to be looking at is, as we talk about winter flora, I'm going to be making references to the Floral Oracle, where some of these are also mentioned for their spiritual meaning. So I'm going to turn this over to you now.
Okay. Well, you know, when winter arrives, we all start to decorate, at least I decorate my house with flowers, and never give it a thought to the fact that they have other roles in holiday traditions, and they have magical powers too. And so in order to do this this program, I dove into this deeper than I ever have. And I was not aware that the Egyptians decorated trees during the winter solstice. And I, yeah, that is an interesting fact that I was not aware of. I was aware that the Druids used mistletoe in their winter customs, and that the mythology that spans generation has continued to bring mistletoe to now. And that's why we're always kissing under the mistletoe due to whatever the Druids and the pagans of the times, you know, assume, because it was supposed to enhance the energy of their home. And we'll talk about mistletoe a little later.
Well, but, I'm just going to say, since you mentioned it, there's an entry for mistletoe at the Floral Oracle, which is part of your weight and fate. And it's an interesting plant because it's semi-parasitic, and it lives on deciduous trees. And, of course, deciduous trees lose their leaves during the winter, but the mistletoe is not deciduous, and it'll stand out in the tree. Like among the bare branches, you'll see the globe of the mistletoe in the winter. So it's a very interesting plant for that reason. And it also has a meaning, a vow of affection or kiss.
Precisely. That's why the Druids used it, because the magical properties are protection, fertility, love, and healing. And that's why for them it was a symbol of life and vitality, and to ward off evil spirits, bless their homes, and bring good fortune. And I didn't know that the Norse also use North mythology link mistletoe to peace and resurrection. So, and that's why we're all kissing under the mistletoe due to all to both of them. But the most popular plant that we all see is the poinsettia. And I mean, we had poinsettias in Cuba. And I never gave it a thought either. It was, you know, it's a plant that comes up every winter. It's pretty. But the poinsettia is original from Mexico. And I didn't know. Yeah. And it was, it was named after the first United States ambassador to Mexico, Joel Roberts Poinsett, because he was a botanist. So, and he loved the plant. So here we go. Now it's a poinsettia because, you know, Joel liked it. So, and in Spanish, the poinsettia is called flor de buena noche, noche buena, good night, which is flower of the holy night. And it's like Christmas Eve. Yeah, the flor de noche buena. And the red colors also are very notable for this season because, you know, we all want to be red and green for this season. So the story of the poinsettia has a folk story that made it. I think that's how they brought it into Christianity, because this plant was originally very well liked by the Aztecs. And they, because the plant didn't grow in the low part of the country, it grew on the high, the higher plants. So Montezuma wanted it shipped to him, and they used the color, the leaves of the flower for dye, and they would dye their garments with the color of, you know, the petals, which actually the petals are leaves. Is one of these plants that turns the petal, the leaves into petals. So here come the Spaniards, okay? And they go, oh, okay, this is a nice flower, but I think that we're going to take over this flower and we're going to make it, like everything else, we're going to make it the typical flower of Christmas. And here comes the folk story of a poor girl named Pepita. She wasn't named anything Aztec. She was named Pepita. And Pepita was very sad because she didn't have a gift to offer baby Jesus at the Christmas Eve service. Mm-hmm. So on her way to church, her cousin Pedro told her that even the most humble gift given with love would be acceptable in the eyes of Jesus. It was then that Pepita picked some weeds from the ground and took them to the baby Jesus. Mm-hmm. When she entered the chapel and placed the weeds at the front of the nativity scene, they miraculously burst into magnificent bright red flowers. And everyone who witnessed this believed it was a Christmas miracle and began its journey into Christian tradition.
Wow.
So from that day on, poinsettias are symbols of joy, hope, and success. So their red blooms symbolize purity and goodwill, perfect for jewel for Christmas or jewel greetings. Now, I was not aware that poinsettias are loved worldwide. I thought it was just something here in the Americas, but they're very well liked in Europe, in Australia, and all over the world. So here you go. It's a Christmas miracle. They're all over the world. Okay.
Well, you know, it's funny to me. I remember hearing once, you know, some one of these debunking stories back in the 1960s that it was the florists who decided to tell these stories of how you have to have a poinsettia in your home at Christmas because they could sell them as potted plants.
Mm-hmm.
And they last for a long, long time because they come in pots. And if you look at the picture we have here for our placard, you'll see there they are in their little pots.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You never have them as cut flowers. They're always grown, potted up, forced into bloom. And I will say one other thing about the Aztecs. The Aztecs, along with the Egyptians, were ancient masters of forcing plants to bloom out of season by applications of heat. And because some plants will, their cycle, yearly cycle will change if the heat cycle changes. Others rely on daylight. So until electricity came in, daylight loving plants couldn't be forced, but heat loving plants could be. And the Aztecs knew how to do that and did it regularly to please the upper classes and the nobility with flowers out of season. Just a little word to the wise there about where all those poinsettias came from.
That's right.
And I see poinsettias. I mean, I grew up in my sort of later teen years. I grew up in a predominantly Mexican and Cuban area in Southern California. And they're very common around Christmas time, but they're also very common on sort of ancestor altars around this time. Also very common on the altars of Santísimo Muerte. Santísimo Muerte is associated with roses, marigold flowers, but also poinsettias around this time. There are people who will put out a Santísimo Muerte shrine, Holy Death. It is the coming up of the longest night, so it's very natural to think about, you know, life and mortality and the celebration of the coming of the new year and the dawn of the light. And they put out poinsettias. So it's. I mean, I'm not sure, you know, if it was the florist that came up with it, but it certainly has been as long as I can remember part of Mexican or Latin American culture more broadly.
I think what I meant to say there is, there became an industry of growing and forcing these and then shipping them around in container trucks.
So like industries take cultural practice, like people were doing cards for ages until Hallmark came along and like co-opted the tradition, but like they didn't invent it, like people, but they know, I mean, you're right. Industries are very good at taking like cultural practices that already exist and industrializes them or expanding them or shipping them globally. Like that's a really interesting bit that I hadn't even considered. considered cat. Like the,
ability
to just ship globally like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what they, what they do now is there are, it's easier, of course, to grow them in an area, it's less energy intensive if you grow them in a subtropical or tropical area. But then once they've been forced and they're all kind of uniform and they've all been trimmed up, it's so interesting how much they all look the same. You know, they've all been cloned. They are. And then they literally put them into warmed trucks, you know, like you might ship live animals in. And up they go. They show up in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I had never considered how uniform poinsettia really is. You're right. They almost look identical. Because I remember when I was a kid and I saw, I didn't think it was a real plant initially, or a real flower, because they are so uniform looking.
That's right.
But they're also quite pretty.
Oh, they're beautiful. They're beautiful. Yeah. Very, very lovely. And I will say something else. In the mid-1970s, suddenly plastic poinsettias showed up at the big box stores. When the big box stores were just beginning to come in, Walmart and Target and all of this, late 70s, all of a sudden there were these plastic poinsettias. And to me, it was the craziest thing. But the idea was you could have these, and then when you were done with them for the year, you could wash them off in the shower, put them away in a plastic bag, and take them out again the next year. And I'm like, that's crazy.
Awesome. Well, you know, people like me that have a cat, I cannot have poinsettias in the house because they're poisonous.
They're toxic. Yeah, that's correct.
So, so I have, like you say, I have this very nice poinsettia arrangement that is not plastic. It's like a velvety thing.
It's velvety,
and and I put it away every Christmas. I clean it up. I put it away, wrap it up in a bag, and put it in the garage, and then I bring it out, and it looks great. And then I have the real poinsettia outside where my cat doesn't go.
Right. That's good. Yeah.
So I can see them from the window, but the cat won't die, you know, in the process. Also, you know, they're very, they were medicinal. They were used by the Aztecs medicinally because the sap, you know, they have, if you break a branch, they have that white sap. Could be used to reduce fever symptoms. Wow. And this white sap is called latex, which cracked me up. Okay, so who knew? So yeah, so it was, they were medicinal too.
So. The poinsettias also made their way into Persian practices as well. When Iranian Americans came to the United States, they also have a winter solstice practice known as Shabi Yalda or Shabi Chile, or Yalda night, just in English. And it's a solstice, a winter solstice practice. And in Iran, it was traditionally red roses, red flowers, pomegranates, watermelon. Right. And we get together, light a candle in order to stave off the longest night of the year. And you would recite poetry. You would perform divination, specifically Fale Hafez, which is a type of bibliomancy done with Hafez's poetry, Divan-e Hafez. But when they came here, they saw all the poinsettias out during Christmas time. And so the poinsettias actually joined the roses on the altars that are made on winter solstices. So if you're a Persian person or specifically Iranian American, you'll find poinsettias in the Chile, the Shabi Chile, which is the Yalda night.
Okay, so I just have to, since you mentioned the latex, I just have to say that they are in the same family as the rubber tree, which is where latex comes from.
Okay.
But not only that, that plant family, the Euphorbiaceae, is a wild family. Wild. And the latex on some of them will make you blind if you get it in your eyes. It is toxic, toxic, toxic. There's one plant that is often grown or used to be grown called crown of thorns plant, which is a euphorbia but has thorns, huge thorns. And you can, as it grows, you can kind of bend it with wire like you would a bonsai. And people used to make this come around and make a crown of thorns and then cut it off and say, this is the crown of thorns. And they would literally put it on statues of Jesus when they would have a... Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's a euphorbia. There's another one of them There's, I could, euphorbiaceae, they make your children cry. They're bad. They're bad for you. There's another one that's called the four square gopher plant. And if you look down on it from above, there's opposite leaves and the stem is square, and it's also has this latex, which will burn your hands, burn your eyes, burn your nostrils. Just don't. But it was recommended for use in California by people who, hey, thought it might kill out gophers because it's so toxic that if gophers encountered it, you were supposed to plant like rows, a double thick row of it around your vegetable garden, and the gophers would never get through. And when I moved to my property here, there still are to this day four square gopher plants all through the garden area. I never pull them out. I just don't touch them. But but they never, they didn't stop the gophers. The row was broken at some point. So yeah, all the Euphorbiaceae are just a lot of fun for botanists to talk about. And poinsettia is the most pretty of them all.
Right. So it's pretty and poisonous.
That's right.
Yes, yes. It's like an evil, you know, witch. I'm pretty and poisonous.
Yeah. So. Right, exactly.
So let's see. Another plant, and this is not a flower. This is a plant. It's the holly. And, you know, like any other evergreen plants, holly is the most recognizable traditional plants of the holidays. And it became a wintertime tradition because of the pagan beliefs of magical properties. The Druids, the Celts, and Romans brought evergreens into their homes during winter, believing the plant's ability to keep its leaf was magical and assure the return of spring, so signifying protection and eternal life. And, of course, in Christianity, holly was adopted as the symbol of Christ's crown of thorns, the crimson berries, a symbol of his blood, and the evergreen, a metaphor for life after death. So here we go again with, you know, taking this symbolism and making it religious.
That's right.
Yeah, I love holly. I think the plants are beautiful. But they can stick you. I mean, if you get close with those leaves, they can really hurt you.
Oh, and if you walk barefoot where they've shed their leaves, they'll stick right into your feet.
Good grief. Yeah.
I walk barefoot a lot, and we have holly plants on our property. In fact, if you order dried holly from Lucky Mojo, it will come off of our plants here because it was planted here about 1875 from somebody who came from back east and wanted it for Christmas. But it self-seeds. The birds will pick up the seeds and it'll go all over the place. And we have little holly bushes everywhere. I also have a stepsister whose name is Holly. So holly is very protective. It's
because of that.
Yeah. So people will plant two matching holly bushes at either side of the path that leads to their door. That's a very common custom. And in places where it snows, then the berries will be, you'll see the berries and the leaves, and it'll be very pretty in the snow. Also, people don't give holly in a bouquet, usually, because it's so prickly. But there are people who will make a vase with an arrangement with holly in it and offer it as a Christmas gift, as a bouquet. And there's also the old song, Deck the Halls with Boughs of Holly. And but that is very much an old Celtic thing. It's not it's not something that has to do with Christ or Christianity, although people think it does. But it really was a way to celebrate Yule when the Holly King was ruling.
I mean, the idea of bringing the holly indoors and the evergreen, but that prickly component of it is what makes it so incredibly protective. And like basil, that's the idea that if you have holly on the property, evil can't actually come onto your property. Where basil protects the home, holly protects the property. Also, holly has a unique connection with lightning. It's supposed to protect from lightning, though ironically, it's quite flammable, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But it is considered to be protection from lightning, so that if you put a holly tree in your property, lightning will strike the tree and not your home. So it's considered to be a redirection of lightning, is one old folk tradition of protection. So holly is an incredibly interesting protective plant. I often akin it to, like, it has a very similar nature, holy nature to it, like basil does, where basil protects the inside of the home, holly protects the outside of the home.
They're like related protectors.
Yeah. And the planting of it in pairs is so common. It's this goes back to the old days where people didn't live in apartments and stuff. They would have a piece of land and they would have the two hollies on either side of the path to the house.
Yeah, they'd have a driveway or like a lead up to the house and the hollies.
And the hollies are, how it is at my house. But the hollies are not right up against the house. No one wants to step into them,
Right
up against the house we have, prettier things like Japanese maples.
Yeah, nice.
But the hollies stand guard. Really stand guard.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, another thing that is used during the winter and are all over the place are pine cones. And pine cones have magical properties. They also protect. They're for fertility. They're symbols of fertility, enlightenment, and immortality, symbolizing the cycle of life and spiritual awakening. And they're used in various rituals for cleansing, attracting prosperity, and for their connection to the human pineal gland, which is associated with the third eye. And while I was reading about this, it also talked about, the shape of the pine cone. And, many of the magical properties have to do with the shape of the pine cone itself and how it has the seeds inside hidden. And then, when the pine cone opens, the seeds fall out. And apparently the anatomy of the human pineal gland resembles a little bit the shape of the pine cone. So not being a doctor, I can't attest to that, but that's what is said. Due to the qualities of pine cones, you can use them for protection in your home or business, and to bring success and ward off negative influences, you can hang them. So, I found some super large pine cones in Lake Tahoe one year. And I brought a bag with me. And I have them and put them on the fireplace, and they're huge. One of those hanging from the ceiling could be an ornament, especially if you put a pine cone with a mistletoe and hang it with a pretty ribbon. That would be very cool. And, you can kiss somebody and be protected from anything strange while you're kissing them. So there, it takes care of two things at once.
There's also the pine bough. In other words, these would be cut pieces of pine. So there are many, many species of pines, and they are evergreen, and they have their own meanings, which also have to do with eternal life and immortality. They live a long time and they don't shed their leaves. And so putting out pine boughs on the mantelpiece with pine cones is very common. And when you buy an artificial Christmas tree, they often will come with a small bag of pine cones with wires attached, so you can wire them onto your artificial Christmas tree. And I find that so interesting that the people who make these artificial Christmas trees, most of whom are in China, understand that we would want to have the pine cones. But it's so funny because when I bought an artificial Christmas tree and it came with pine cones, they were Chinese pine cones. They weren't American. And I was like, how exotic is this?
That's fascinating.
I've got Chinese pine cones. Now, the decking, the halls with boughs of holly is sometimes done by twining holly amongst the pine boughs and with pine cones. So this is to make a mantelpiece decoration. They often will come, I would call them bilaterally symmetrical. All of the leafy and fruity and various parts point out from the center. And then at the center, there will be a centerpiece on the mantelpiece. Right. And this is so typical of the way the tradition of decorating the home at Christmas. And people often don't think about this, you know, but then, you know, the young girl grows up and she gets her own apartment and there is a mantelpiece and she says, oh, I need some boughs of pine or whatever. Oh, but she lives in California where Douglas fir is more common, so maybe she gets some fir boughs. Or maybe she's up north where spruce is more common, but you know, she's going to be using some coniferous thing, and then she wants those pine cones, and then she's got that thing. And it's so funny, people don't realize the culture taught them how to set up these mantelpiece decorations.
Right.
If you were to go right now to AI and say, decorated living room, decorated with Christmas, with pine cones and flowers and whatever, they would show you poinsettias, pine boughs, and stuff, because everyone knows that's how we do it. Now, we got these ideas from Europeans, and you've mentioned the Druids several times. So in some ways, obviously, we're not carrying on the original Christian ideas. These are Druidic ideas that we're carrying on.
I should say that pine resin, of course, is incredibly cleansing and is used as protection, and pine needles are often burned to cleanse and purify a place. It's a pretty common tradition. There is also a neo-pagan spell. Now, I'm not very familiar with neo-pagan traditions. I'm more of a scholar of the Mediterranean and Middle East, so Miss Kat and Mama E, correct me if I'm saying this working wrong, but I was taught this by a Wiccan who's also part of this sort of neo-pagan tradition. And what she would do is she would take pine cones during Christmas, write a couple wishes. So this was a wish-granting spell. She would write wishes, several of them from like 7 to 9, in long strips of paper, roll them up, and then stick them into the pine cone, then wrap the pine cone up with a little bit of thyme, and then hang that from the Christmas tree. And she would leave it the entire Christmas. And then when she brought the tree down, she would take the pine cone with the string and the prayers, go out into the woods, dig a hole, bury it, and cover it with honey before covering it with dirt. And that was to bring whatever she wished during Christmas time into the new year. It was neo-pagan Wiccan-esque spell.
That's very interesting.
It's good. I like it.
I have to just say something there. That honey makes me wonder if she had Jewish ancestry too.
Or, either Jewish ancestry or familiar with hoodoo or conjure or Mediterranean folk magic. That's what I thought also, because we were talking about folk magic and I was doing like, and she mentioned this thing. She didn't say it was like a family tradition. She said it's something she did. But I immediately thought the same thing. I wonder if she has like Sicilian Jewish something going on, because the honey kind of gave it away.
Well, you know, in Santeria, you use honey to sweeten your life because of Ochun. So any which way you look, she did a very cool
thing. Yeah, the logic's work.
Yes, I like it.
That's a cool, it's a nice spell. Well, you know, all spells come from somewhere. And if that woman made that up, she knew her background. She knew what she was doing. That's very, very good. Yeah.
So anyway, so, you know, pine cones, going back to them, aside from also being used in spells like the one Conjurman just said, which I really like, they can be used in rituals for purification and cleansing. It can be used for to hang them in the home to attract prosperity. And you can put them under the bed to ward off illness during winter. So, that's kind of, to me, I don't know about that one, but because I think that nowadays with so many viruses, I don't know if the pine cone will do it for me, but, you know, that's what they used to do. Now, It also can be used as a tool for meditation to enhance spiritual connection and alleviate dark influences. I guess when you're meditating and being that they're protective, you could actually meditate. You can focus on a pine cone, which has a lot of different aspects, and you can meditate on it. So that's one that I had not heard, but I thought it was very interesting and was going to share it with you. And ultimately, the most common use is that they can be used to start fires. Mm-hmm. And that symbolizes the start of a new cycle, but you can take them to camping and then put them in your campfire. Mm-hmm. So, right. Yeah. Yeah, so, and that I would tie negative things to the pine cone and burn it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Honest. Protect yeah. me and take care of this. So.
Well, so the pine cone, and if you go to the floral oracle, many people think of the pine cone as the opened cone where it's shed its seeds. And at the floral oracle, the picture of pine shows an open cone. But for pine cone, we show a ripe pine cone, a bunch of ripe pine cones that have not yet opened. Right. And when you look at ripe pine cones that have not yet opened, the next entry is pineapple. And mm-hmm. pineapple sure. is called pineapple because, hey, it has the same geometry on it as the scales of the pine cone before they open. Mm-hmm. And the pineapple is obviously an exotic fruit in Europe, but it is a symbol of hospitality.
Right.
And when people have parties for, the holiday season, the pineapple is often featured. It can be shown on the table as a centerpiece, even though it's not a pine cone. Mm-hmm. And one of the popular dishes of winter is pineapple upside down cake.
Yes.
Which is made with canned pineapples. Mm-hmm. And so the pineapple, looking like the pine cone, introduced as this exotic plant that only the wealthy could grow. And they grew them in hothouses in England. I usually got one pine cone per year, and that's the day the party would be done, you know. Mm-hmm. And so the pine cone represents hospitality, welcome, generosity. And it also, weirdly enough, has recently been connected with IVF fertility treatments.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. It's because it's cloned. It is not grown from seed. And so, yeah, you will see people in, who use emoticons. Mm-hmm. And if you're wandering around and they'll say, I've begun a course of pineapple, pineapple, pineapple. And that means IVF
treatment. Oh, I love when things evolve. Oh. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
That's recent, of course.
Yeah. I love that. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either. Yeah. So I didn't know that pineapples began in South America. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I hate to tell you guys, but a lot of good things came from the Americas.
No, it's true. No, please say it. It's true. Changed global cuisine.
It did. And everything. And it went to Spain and Europe and everywhere. Yeah. So here we go. Just saying.
And we should also mention that if we're going to talk about pineapples, everyone calls it ananas in some variety, yes, in Spanish and Arabic and Persian, everything except for America, we're called pineapple.
No, we call it piña.
Piña.
Piña. Which also could mean pine cone.
Right.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? See, the connection between the two. And it's really based on, the Fibonacci series geometry. Mm. It's the same geometry that arrays the seeds in a sunflower, but that's a more flattish disc. Mm. In the pine cone or pineapple, it's like folded upward, but it's still Fibonacci numbers. Well, anyway, all of you sacred geometry people know what I'm talking about.
And for the rest of the world, ananas is how it's said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ananas.
Okay. Ananas, yeah. Ananas mit Schlag. That's what you ask for when you're in Vienna. Yeah. Pineapple slices with whipped cream.
Nice. Very nice. So let's see. We have other flowers mm-hmm. that I looked up too. Amaryllis. Amaryllis is a holiday flower, and it represents beauty and strength. And I remember my daughter gave me an amaryllis one year, and I was fascinated. It was just, I was watching it and sending her pictures every day. And I'm sure she regretted sending me the amaryllis because I drove her nuts with pictures. Look at it. It's blooming. It's growing. But they're beautiful, beautiful plants and represent beauty and strength. So that's something that when you give someone an amaryllis, you're wishing them that. Okay.
Yes. They're given when they're just about to bud. And again, they can be forced. And they live for a long, long time. And they're not a little, you know, quickly over it plant. They're really great.
Very nice. And they bloom again. They bloom again. If you save the bulb the way you're supposed to, you can get it again next year. So, yeah. So they're really good, sturdy. I'm sure they also represents rebirth, because if they have that quality, that's something that people need to, you know, associate it with.
Right.
Carnations. Carnations are not expensive, and carnations are also added to flower arrangements during Christmas, and they symbolize admiration. And they come in white, which signified pure goodwill and blessings. So, I mean, the symbolism of the flowers when you give them, especially during the holidays, are very important. Here are the roses Conjurman was talking about. Red flowers, especially red roses, signify love, unity, and warmth. So
I'm going to jump from flowers to another thing that's often given in winter, and that's nuts. So you go to someone's house and they have a nut bowl and a nutcracker, and there's various nuts.
Chestnuts roasting on an open flame.
Chestnuts, almonds, walnuts. There's so many kinds of nuts. Hazelnuts. And everybody cashews is another one. Everybody likes these nut bowls, and particularly the nuts that have a shell that you crack. And that is a symbol also of endurance and of rebirth. Nuts are very important because they represent, different youth. You know, the youth comes out of the nut. Regrowth comes out of the nut.
Nuts are also another one of those things that are done in Shabbat Yaldor, Shabbat Chalev, the Yalda night where divination is. I actually have a very fond memory of my great aunt, who was a very famous diviner. And I would sit, she's my grandmother's sister, very famous cartomancer. And we would sit, and I would sit next to her as she read during this night. And what she would do is she would crack the pistachio nuts for me, because I was too young and I couldn't do it. So she would eat one, she would crack a pistachio nut and hand it to me while she was reading cards.
How sweet.
We've come to the end of our time for winter flora, and there's a lot more that we could talk about, obviously. But
flowers, nuts, we covered it all.
Yeah, from flowers and mistletoe to nuts, there is so much to talk about. But remember, when you're using flora and in your home decoration, always look up the symbolism of it. And I'm going to give another little shout out to the Floral Oracle at yourweightandfate.com.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at luckymojo.com.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance that brings you the best in hoodoo, conjure, witchcraft, rootwork, new thought, spiritualism, and pagan ways. Our shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, live on Sundays from 3 to 4:30 Pacific Time, the Crystal Silence League Hour, the Wish the Priestess and the Cauldron, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, and the Now You Know Show. All these shows are available as audio podcasts via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and at YouTube, where we make daily video uploads. Please like and subscribe at youtube.com/LuckyMojoCurioCo. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, makers of handcrafted spiritual supplies and offering the widest selection of magical herbs and roots, plus hundreds of free web pages filled with spellcasting tips and fortune telling techniques. Our shop is located in Forestville, California, and we sell retail and wholesale online at LuckyMojo.com.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. And now it's time for our free spell segment with Mama E of ConjureDoctor.com in Los Angeles, California. Take it away, Mama E.
Thank you. Well, the spell is mostly a way where you can use and mix various plants and flowers for specific purposes. I got three different ideas that I wanted to share with you. The first one, consider what you need or desire during the holiday season and the new year. If you're planning to entertain family and friends, you want to have a peaceful environment for everyone to enjoy. Make a centerpiece with poinsettias and surround them with a holly wreath. And wreaths are a symbol of protection as well as the holly. You can also add some pine cones to the wreath to ward off evil. And this could be a beautiful centerpiece on your dining table or your living room, coffee table. The other idea is that you can also make a front door decoration with branches of a pine tree or fronds. And this can be obtained at a Christmas tree lot. When they cut branches, they can drop them or they can sell them to you. Decorate them with a large red bow to signify unity, love, and protection. Add pine cones and a bundle of 3 cinnamon sticks for additional protection, tied with a thin red and green ribbon. One thing that can be added is to use some dehydrated orange slices for prosperity. And this can be made by slicing an orange and placing them on an oven sheet at 200 degrees for 3 to 4 hours. Flip them halfway through and they will be ready to hang, and they look beautiful, and they will bring protection and prosperity to your home. Finally, you can fill a bowl of oranges and lemons for your house. A crystal bowl would be prettier, and stick cloves in all of them. Oranges are for prosperity, lemons for protection, and cloves for good luck and positive energy. And this can also be put somewhere in the house to bring that energy into your home when your family visits throughout the holidays. And actually, you can leave this out all year long if you want, because the scent is beautiful and the protection will last. And those are the three ideas that I got for you today. And I'm wishing everyone happy holidays and many blessings.
So thank you for that. I have one thing to add to that. We didn't really get too far into pomanders, which are oranges mm-hmm. stuck with cloves or lemons stuck with cloves.
Well, we mentioned in a previous episode.
Yes, we've mentioned them before. But pomanders, I have seen a tree completely covered with... The only ornaments on it were pomanders that were made with tiny miniature oranges that are, you know, little wild species of orange, just stuck all over. And the whole tree was covered with pomanders as the only ornamentation. And it was smelled so good. So if any of you think about that, you don't need to use a big old Washington navel. Use those little cuties or something even smaller.
Right.
Take it away, Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Cat and Conjure Man. And thank you, Mama E of ConjureDoctor.com in Los Angeles, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers will be Papa G of FolkMagicStudios.com in Nashville, Tennessee. And he will be bringing us the wonderful topic of hoodoo for hauntings, conjure spells against haints, hags, and herring spirits. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curie Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjure Man at conjuremanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from papanewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week via YouTube live stream at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available at YouTube at youtube.com/LuckyMojoCurioCo. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you, Papa Newt. Now, I have a few announcements to make, and I've got a little time to make them. So, we have some news about the channel. I know that many of you here love the live shows. We are going to keep on with the live shows. We have been, for the past year, starting January 1st, rebroadcasting an old show every day, whether it was from the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, or whether it was from the Wish to the Priestess and the Cauldron, or the Crystal Silence League Hour. And we have been able to grow the channel very rapidly because of that. We do need more growth for the channel in order to support the amount of effort it takes to make these videos. Someone gets paid, and that guy is Andre Yashin in the nation of Georgia. So we have decided to cut back our upload schedule starting January 1st. We're still going to be uploading 7 days a week all through December. But starting in January, we're going to cut back to one Witch, Priestess, and Cauldron per week instead of two, one Crystal Silence League instead of two, and two Lucky Mojos, one rebroadcast and one new live show, still on Sunday, still at 3 p.m. Pacific. And so we will be uploading 4 times a week. And we hope that you tell your friends to tune in and listen to these shows. If you see a show, like it. If you like it, comment. YouTube runs only on its algorithm. Remember, if you're subscribed to our feed, you will be able to go to your subscriptions instead of letting YouTube just give you random, you know, whatever it's going to be, Siberian train crashes and exploding puppies. I mean, whatever YouTube wants to give you. Don't do that. Go to where it says what you've subscribed to. So we will be broadcasting Lucky Mojo shows on, I believe it is Friday and Sunday, an old one on Friday and live on Sunday. So that will give us a little bit more time to do other things because we've been working hard. And I want to make a big shout out also to Deacon Millen, who has been working with us on these shows every week. And we've, you know, reached the end of our introduction series where we were doing it every day. It'll now be 4 times a week. And Phyllis Margaret Gabor says, "That's nice. I can't lie. I'm easily overstimulated." Absolutely. Okay. So thanks, everyone. And be sure to tell your friends about the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. All right. Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.